It's time to get real with Mike Murphy. Take off the blinders and wake up to what is going on in the world. Mike is sharing unfiltered truth so you, the listener, can make your own decisions and cut through the noise of what mainstream media is saying. Mike is bringing you real news, real problems, real solutions, and real hope. Question everything. Open your mind, own your power, and get real now with Mike Murphy.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, and this is the Get Real News Hour, and I'm your host, Mike Murphy. And today is September 8th, 2020. I hope everybody had a nice Labor Day. I know that I did. And we are brought to you by Transformation Talk Radio out of Seattle. We have the lovely Olivia producing the show today. We also live stream at Mike Murphy Unfiltered YouTube channel. And if any of the shows get taken down, which a couple have already, we archive them all at MikeMurphyUnfiltered.com. So you can always check archives of our shows will always be there. We come to you live Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, 5 p.m. Pacific. Although today we're doing a pre-record because I'll be on an airplane. We have a very, very special guest with us today. I've been talking to this man for a number of years now. He's an expert in geoengineering. And he has a website called geoengineeringwatch.org. His name is Dane Whittington, and he's a very, very passionate man, and he's put his whole life into this work. And so I applaud him for that. We'll bring him on in just a minute. Before I do, I want to cover a news story that I first saw yesterday and did a little more research this morning. And you can find it if you want to go deeper, jimstone.is. Jim Stone is a freelance journalist, alleged former NSA employee. And so he writes a lot of interesting articles. But this one I saw somewhere else. I actually saw it on Facebook first. But it really talks about the COVID-19 test kits were ordered by these countries in 2018. And when this got discovered, this is on the WITS website, the World Integrated Trade Solution. And when this story broke, they went and they tried to cover all their tracks and change everything, but they screwed up and they didn't change the order number or the amount ordered. And so there's no doubt that this COVID-19 is a plandemic, ladies and gentlemen, as I've been saying for the last, you know, 7-8 weeks we've been on air here, and it's a real scamdemic. So there's a lot of reasons for this. But today we're going to get into geoengineering with our special guest. Dane, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Mike. Thank you for your efforts to help sound the alarm. We are definitely running out of time fast.
Yeah. So what I want to do, because, you know, this subject comes up a lot, you know, and, you know, I mean, I can't help myself if I'm out in public and they're spraying over us to point it out. And most people just look at me like I'm absolutely crazy. And you've been doing this work a long time. You have lots of scientific proof. But I want to go back 70 years ago. And I want to ask you, because that's when it started. And so who started it and why, and what was the agenda 70 years ago when they started this geoengineering?
Well, the powers that be knew that the planetary thermal energy equilibrium was being thrown off, and the temperature rise heading into the end of World War II was going straight up, and we have archival footage of Mike. You've heard people when it comes to, you know, is this condensation or is it something else?
Right.
You've heard people refer to the, you know, World War II bombers had all these massive trails behind them, so that proves it's just condensation. You probably heard that argument, right?
Right. Yep.
So we covered from military archival footage, B-17 bombers at altitude shutting a spray dispersion off. That means they were beta testing near the end of World War II. They absolutely were. So what we see is after World War II, from 45 to 75, the planetary temperatures leveled off against all predictions, at least statistically they did. We can't know how much was data falsification, but climate scientists around the globe didn't know the climate engineering had been fully deployed starting over the polar regions. And so you might remember in the 70s, there was some discussion about, you know, we don't know why it's not heating. Maybe we're entering an ice age. You know, that was some of the media then. But climate engineering appears to be the core part of that. It had an initial effect, but you have many negative effects, and those negative effects have now completely manifested, which means that you get a short-term cooling effect while you're destroying the ozone layer, contaminating everything on the ground, which means root systems for trees, forests that begin to die. They no longer uptake carbon. You start to throw the whole cycle off balance, you know, again, not to mention contaminating every breath we take, disrupting the hydrological cycle, the rain cycle. So like the pharmaceutical cure for the human body, Mike, how many commercials have you seen take this for that? And here's, by the way, 50 side effects that are exponentially worse than what you're trying to treat. And it's the same mentality, but as the climate engineering negative aspects have kicked in, like the destruction of the ozone layer, disruption of the hydrological cycle, what does the military-industrial complex do? They just double down. They just expand the programs even further. And there are other agendas being carried out at this point, Mike. I mean, we can't attribute the climate decimation that's related to climate engineering. And again, I'm not denying other forms of human damage to the planet. Not at all. We've been very poor stewards of our planet. And we have grave repercussions that we face because of that. But the climate engineering operations are the single biggest part of the equation that is disrupting the planet's ability to respond. But at this point, we see such a consistent effort, for example, to cut the rain off from California. And we know that they're cutting the rain off because we can see in satellite imagery, I just looked at it this morning, the aerosol operations in the eastern Pacific off our coast are totally disrupting, derailing, and diverting the hydrological cycle. We know they're cutting off our rain. At this point, it can only be considered weather warfare, and whatever other agendas are being carried out, the U.S. population, like populations all over the globe for so many decades, are being subjected to weather warfare, and that's simply can't be argued at this point. In regard to this not being condensation, if I could, one more point, I'm sorry.
Please, go ahead.
For your listeners, we have filmed footage of these aircraft at altitude, nozzles visible, military tankers, KC-10s, KC-135, C-17s, spraying. Nozzles visible, turning on and off. End of argument. It's not condensation. Go ahead.
Yeah,
sorry, Mike.
I mean, that's indisputable. I mean, you know, Ray Charles can see what they're doing and what's coming out of these airplanes, right? So in my mind, that's indisputable. But where I'm a little confused, I thought 70 years ago they started this to be able to control the weather, control the jet stream. But you're telling me now they started this to cool the planet because they knew it was heating up. Is that what you're saying?
Well, let me add with that. I didn't mean to categorize it as that as an only objective, not at all. Because we know that their attempt to control weather, it appears that some of the conflicts, even in World War II, like the Battle of the Bulge, may have had a weather warfare as a part of that equation. We know from film footage, just at the beginning of my East and West Coast broadcast every week, is President Lyndon Johnson raving like a lunatic in 1962, he's then vice president, that we had the power to control the world's cloud cover then in 1962, and quote, he who controls the weather controls the world. Certainly this is the crown jewel weapon of the power structure. So I did not mean to in any sense paint a picture that this is somehow benevolent. Not at all. In fact, even the attempt to, because the U.S. military states on the record, your listeners can look this up, the top military brass, U.S. military, has stated repeatedly that the greatest national security threat of all is the unfolding climate collapse. So they see this justifiably as a military threat, and it's for their own preservation that they are engaged in any attempt to mask the severity of warming. It's not for the greater good, not at all. The repercussions are far too grave. This is, you know, killing the planet to save it. It's disabling the planet's ability to respond, as I stated, but we see sub-Saharan African countries, Middle Eastern countries that have had their precipitation cut off, then those countries are forced to cooperate with U.S. dictates. We have the leaders of some of those countries on the record, like the leader of former president of Iran, Ahmadinejad, stating NATO was cutting off their precipitation. So this is a covert weapon of war, and it's being used against the U.S. population now as well. I would argue, again, based on current statistical data we have, and Geoengineering Watch has stated this for over a decade, that the planet's ability to support the populations has broken down to the point that the current paradigm is no longer sustainable. Fisheries are collapsing, crops are collapsing, and again, all of this is intertwined, much of that woven into the decimation that climate engineering has caused in the first place. But countries around the globe, superpowers, China, US, Russia, they all know that they can no longer maintain the current paradigm, and there is cooperation with climate engineering. We know that. We have Senate documents as long as 800 pages proving that, posted at geoengineeringwatch.org. I mean, it's not speculation. It's called cross-border ramifications. You can't climb it into your over your own country without affecting the entire world. All the countries around the globe, with a few exceptions, Iran being one, have been actively or passively cooperating with these programs for decades. So, again, we're not speculating, but right. At this point, the threat posed by the climate engineering, aka weather warfare operations, would have to mathematically, statistically be considered the greatest threat we collectively face, short of nuclear cataclysm.
So let me ask you a general question and then another question you might not be able to answer. But so it appears to me, and this is a statement, and then you can correct me if it's right or wrong, but it appears to me that they started this for weather modification. As Johnson said, who controls the weather controls the world. So they started it and it got away from them. And now they got a huge mess. I mean, and the whole system is falling apart. My question then is, if they hadn't have started this 70 years ago, Would Earth naturally heat up, or would we be in this mess, or would it be worse?
Okay, that's really a core question, a very exceptional question. So, it's a somewhat complex question. So first, there's nothing natural about what's happening on the energy balance of our planet right now. Again, it's no more natural than if you ran someone over in a crosswalk and claimed they died of a heart attack. There's nothing natural about what's happening. The planet was in the elliptical phase of its orbit. Was cooling before the start of the Industrial Revolution, so the warming was occurring. When you pump that much greenhouse gas back into the atmosphere, warming does occur, no question. But the core of this problem with climate engineering is it has completely derailed the planet's ability to respond. So if we go back 5.1 or 2 to 3.2 million years ago, the Pliocene epoch, much more carbon in the atmosphere then. Was the Western North American continent burning to the ground and other parts of the world like it? No, because the hydrological cycle, the rain cycle, increased with the warming and the forests were more stimulated and the growth occurred. They uptook much of that carbon and it helped to regain the Earth's equilibrium. And climate engineering has completely derailed that process. So without climate engineering, and climate engineering, by the way, also destroying the ozone layer, if we took that one factor alone, if we had no other challenges, mathematically right now, based on current readings, we have a NASA contract engineer, former NASA contract engineer that works directly for us with metering equipment. We supplied him based on current calculations at the current rate of ozone destruction, climate engineering being the core part of that. If it continues, we face total ozone layer collapse in less than a decade, perhaps 2026, game over. So if we take, you know, again, the climate engineering component and plug it into what's happened to the planet, even though we've been horrible stewards of the planet, the buildup of greenhouse gases would have at least been compensated to some degree, to perhaps a very large degree, a degree to which we will never know because climate engineering has now taken that opportunity away from us. From the planet's natural equilibrium systems. Plankton is one of those systems. So plankton is the largest sequestering mechanism of carbon on the planet, largest producer of oxygen on the planet. Back to the UV destruction of the ozone layer and the bombardment of UV, it kills plankton. Plankton have to feed in the upper columns, water columns, because they photosynthesize, and now the UV is killing the plankton. So it's killing the plankton, killing the trees, killing the planet's ability to sequester carbon. The rain cycle is completely disrupted. Climate engineering, we now have enough data to conclude they are actually setting the stage for massive forest fire burndowns in certain regions to help put enough particulate matter into the atmosphere to temporarily cool certain parts of the planet. Now, is that not the definition of insanity?
Yep.
Ensuring that none of us get out of this alive.
Yeah.
To buy a little bit more time of business as usual. And we did a very in-depth report at geoengineeringwatch.org. That's quite a statement, I understand, to think that governments would be insane enough to facilitate setting the conditions, i.e. drying the forests out and making them much more combustible, to burn hot fires, to put enough particulate in the atmosphere to temporarily cool, for example, the Arctic. That's a very profoundly difficult conclusion to accept. We have peer-reviewed science study that states that there would be a, quote, benefit for that exact process. And that's listed in our report. So that's how desperate they are. That's how desperate the cancer is to maintain itself, to sustain itself. And all of this, again, these particles, aluminum, barium, strontium, manganese, polymer fibers, all of it raining down through the air column, all of it being inhaled and absorbed by us, Mike. And we've had peer-reviewed study on human hearts now that are showing up, not just in urban areas with not millions, but billions of polymer nanoparticulates embedded in them. So again, the danger posed by climate engineering from countless directions can't be quantified.
So, and let me just comment one thing, because I had my heavy metals tested maybe 5 years ago, and my barium was 300% above normal. So what you're saying is absolutely resonates. And, you know, you talk about the oceans dying and the forests dying, but also our brains are dying, our lungs are dying, our health is being decimated. We get these heavy metals into our system. So let me ask you this. Other than you, okay, first of all, have you been able to figure out where the funding for this, because it's a huge project, where the funding comes from? And other than you, is anybody like sounding the alarm bell out there?
Well, first question on the funding, would we know that the dollar has been, you know, by use of the atomic bombs in World War II, forcing countries to accept the dollar as a global reserve currency? And that was part that whole process. The U.S. not only had nuclear bombs, but they're willing to use them on innocent civilian populations. They thus forced the dollar as the global reserve currency. Thus, U.S. central bankers could print as much as they wanted and for whatever they wanted, and that's what they've done. So when we have data to corroborate that the Pentagon is missing $30 trillion since the late 90s, $30 trillion with a T. Where did they get that $30 trillion extra to begin with, and why is it missing, and what else don't we know about? So literally, they've been able to fund whatever they want. No question about that. In regard to how many are sounding the alarm on this issue, I'm sad to say that geoengineeringwatch.org is, at this moment, still the front of that effort, and I hope that changes. We need legions of academicians to step forward. There are sites and sources that are addressing the issue online to some degree, but they're not using the science terms. They're not sticking to the science data. They're coming to all sort of fringe conclusions that don't help us gain credibility in this battle. But we need academicians to come forward and acknowledge this issue. And Mike, they know what's going on. There's not a meteorologist that can walk and chew gum that doesn't know this is going on. But to protect their paychecks and pensions, they're cowering in the shadows. We have a federal gag order right now on all National Weather Service and NOAA employees. So there's a gag order on the nation's weathermen. That should be a massive red flag. So we have everybody pretending that the climate engineering elephant in the sky isn't there, while it's literally pounding the nails into our collective coffins with each passing day.
Yeah, and I love how big corporations, if they, let's say they run a photo ad, they'll have. White trails in the sky and part of their picture, or you watch on TV, or even the weather people that you talk about, some of them said, you know, they almost make it like it's normal that the sky all of a sudden when we were growing up, it was blue and now it has this white haze to it. And so the gag thing, so they're not allowed to speak about this. Is that their order that they have to sign to get their job?
That's correct. I mean, wow. We were sent a copy of the gag order, to our USPS with no identification, no return address, anybody. We got that right when it happened, and we addressed it when it happened. And, you know, this is, at this point, the power structure, military-industrial complex, again, working with other militaries and countries around the world, are simply focused on preserving their own power till the last possible moment, even at the cost of ensuring that planetary omnicide results. That's the course we are on. And this is not off over the horizon somewhere. It's kicking in the front door right now. We're seeing species collapse at a rate that's 15,000 times the background rate. That's 1.5% of normal. That's 200 to 300 species of plant, animal, and insect a day going extinct. And again, I'm not blaming everything on climate engineering. We have the RF frequencies, which, by the way, many of which relate to climate engineering. You know, while all the cell transmission groups and agencies and people that are fighting, justifiably so, 5G, we hope that they incorporate into their effort the fact that the RF microwave transmissions being used for climate engineering, which affects the die-off I just mentioned, insect collapse and so forth, The frequency used to manipulate these particulates in the atmosphere are far more powerful than the communications transmission. So from every imaginable direction, climate engineering and all that it entails is literally destroying the planet's ability to support life. It is the single most destructive activity the human race has ever deployed. Greatest threat we face, sort of nuclear cataclysm.
So let's talk about, these fires are on everybody's mind, especially like in Northern California right now. I remember a couple of years ago, you in Siberia and you produced a video. I remember it being in Idaho, Northern Idaho, a couple of years ago, everything was on fire. But what I've seen in these Bay Area fires, it just kind of blew my mind, was lightning strikes like I've never, ever seen before. How does the lightning strikes, the fires, all this tie in with the geoengineering?
In regard to the epic global wildfires, the by far, mathematically, statistically, the greatest core causal factor is absolutely climate engineering. And we have the environmental groups, when you say something like that, they try to pretend that you're denying other forms of anthropogenic warming to the planet. Not denying that, not at all. But I'm saying in the case of the wildfires, climate engineering is the core causal factor. And it's not an accident these areas are burning down. So how does climate engineering contribute to the conditions that are causing these fires? First, it cuts off the hydrological cycle, the rain cycle. They can cut the rain off for as long as they want, and that's what they've done to California. And geoengineeringwatch.org has presentations going back the better part of a decade stating this would happen. I've met with Governor Newsom in the Capitol, with his top aide, telling him, this is going back half a decade when he was still lieutenant governor, that this would happen. This would come. It couldn't not happen if these programs were allowed to continue. So we're not guessing. We've been exactly on the mark the entire time. So climate engineering cuts off the hydrological cycle. The precipitation is quite literally toxic with elements like aluminum. I state this from 70 plus lab tests in Northern California alone at the state certified lab. So that toxic rain contaminates root systems in the forest. The roots sense that toxin. We have peer-reviewed study to prove that then they shut down nutrient uptake. They start to die a slow, protracted death from the roots up. The UV is frying the trees from the top down. So we have forests that are packed full of dead trees. It's not that we're not cutting enough trees, as this administration and others would like us to believe. We just need to cut all the trees down. We wouldn't have forest fires. I guess that's true. But, then we don't have forests. But that's not why the forests are burning. And I've done lots of habitat restoration on a massive scale, working with federal agencies. So I know what I'm talking about in that arena. So what we have back to climate engineering, roots being contaminated, soils being sterilized, UV killing the trees from the top down, rain being cut off. Now, back to the lightning you just mentioned, these particles, aluminum, barium, and other elements, are highly electrically conductive. So when you saturate the atmosphere with these particles, you diminish and disperse rainfall. Too many condensation nuclei means the droplets don't combine and fall as rain. So again, you're not only cutting off precipitation from even flowing into an area, even if there's storm clouds there, like thunderheads, the precipitation doesn't fall. And now, with these electrically conductive particles, you have much more lightning. So you have much more dry lightning. And these particulates are incendiaries. That's very critical to understand, too. These aluminum nanoparticulates and other elements like that are incendiaries. They help to fuel fires. They're used in thermite, which is used for demolition.
Which is used on 9/11.
Exactly. So from every conceivable direction, climate engineering must be considered the core causal factor for the burn downs all over the planet. And again, people wander off on the source of ignition for these fires. That's a completely different subject. And that we can, all speculate on what started each fire, where, who threw the match, whatever happened. But the conditions that established this type of massive, unprecedented burn down, those conditions have been established by climate engineering operations, Mike. And this is one more key factor, and I'll give this back to you, that your audience needs to understand. On a warming planet, and the planet's absolutely warming far past anything we've been officially told, it must rain more, not less, back to the planet's own equilibrium system, which is being completely derailed. The atmosphere holds 7% more moisture for every degree C of warming. It should be deluging overall, all over the planet, and it's not. There's deluges, yes, but there is much more protracted drought. Why? Climate engineering is the core causal factor again.
So if I'm a listener and this is all new to me and I'm scratching my head, first of all, who runs this program? Is it the United States military in charge of this?
Certainly, we would see that the U.S. DoD, because of its sheer size, would be a core component, the U.S. military being bigger than the next 10 militaries combined. But that being said, we know there has been cooperation between superpowers going back. Even in the 60s, we recovered photographs of Soviet weather modification scientists touring U.S. facilities here in the height of the Cold War. Obviously, this cooperation has been there for a very, very long time. We know there's cooperation now with the whole COVID pandemic. Governments around the globe are absolutely colluding and cooperating. And we found also what you announced at the beginning of this show, the WITS shipping data showing not just 2018 for shipment of the COVID test, but 2017 all over the globe. I mean, that's another massive red flag. And those pages are down, by the way, as of this morning. We work with a couple of major medical surgeons that have said those pages are down. They're trying to revise it, hide it, as you stated. But this type of intergovernmental cooperation has always been there. We have a core group of global elite that are certainly colluding and cooperating on countless issues, climate engineering being one. And climate engineering, by the way, that term itself, although it's good to use the science terms when you're trying to introduce this issue to agencies or elected officials, but it's far too dignified a term. I mean, in reality, this is simply a climate-destroying weather warfare. Those types of terms more accurately describe what they're doing. I mean, there's engineering is, again, far too dignified a term for what they're doing. They're destroying the planet's life support systems, plain and simple.
So let's connect a bunch of dots real quick and go real crazy here. Because it seems to me, you know, you have documents like Agenda 21, Agenda 2030, the Georgia Guidestones, and perhaps they've lost control of everything. They've lost control of this fiat currency. They've lost control of this weather modification plan because now they're doing crazy stuff to buy just a little bit more time before it all falls apart. You have this COVID-19, which is leading to a vaccination. So maybe this is a big extermination event and that they can get their goal of under a billion people and then with reduction of people, the environment will clean up and the elite will have a cleaner playground. Does that sound crazy to you or does any of that make sense?
Oh, it's certainly not crazy. These agendas absolutely exist. What I would argue is that on the current course, it's again, mathematical, statistical certainty that based on the data we have, that planetary omnicide would occur, which means no one gets out alive. Now, we are completely in uncharted territory, and no one knows, no scientific group or panel, not geoengineeringwatch.org or anyone else, if all forms of human activity stopped, certainly we know that we're through the guardrail, that the damage done cannot be undone in any time frame that matters. But what we don't know is how profound the planet's life support response would be. Certainly, we know if there's any crack in the sidewalk in the middle of the deepest or biggest concrete jungle of a city, life explodes through that crack. You see a blade of grass. And I mean, life is tenacious beyond what we can imagine if we left it alone. And we can't know how profound the planet's life support response would be, but we can say that based on previous extinction events that were happening at a fraction of the speed this one is, and to put that in mathematical terms, the closest comparison is the PETM event 55 million years ago, methane mass extinction, and methane's a part of this equation as well. But what's happening now is happening literally hundreds of times faster than previous extinctions like the PETM event. What was the equilibrium period after the PETM event? About 10 to 20 million years. And what's happening now is, again, exponentially worse, happening exponentially faster. We can't know what an equilibrium period would be. But the point is, if we can salvage any part of Earth's life support systems, isn't that worth fighting for? Absolutely. And for those, again, with all their agendas, those in power, and again, the reality of these agendas is certainly undeniable. But all those points become moot if the whole ship sinks. And in the current course, the whole ship is absolutely sinking. So all their bunkers, their underground facilities don't mean much. They might survive slightly longer. But if you trigger a full-blown runaway event, Mike, Venus syndrome is the result. And that is not a metaphor. When you have the oceans that could literally boil into the atmosphere, is what happened in Venus, on Venus, that's game over time. And the methane that's exploding right now, and again, Mike, you know that the, you know, a lot of, in order to create a division and polarize people, that, you know, livestock is blamed for all the methane.
Right.
And that aggravates a lot of people. And although it's a problem when they cut down forests to grow cows, that's a problem. But a bigger problem is the methane that is thawing from formerly frozen hydrate deposits and exploding into the atmosphere. This is what's been happening in the Bermuda Triangle for the last 70 plus years. That's what the ship sinkings are about. The oceans are warming. It thaws formerly frozen methane fields on the seafloor. They thaw, expel, it aerates the water like a bottle of champagne. Ships have no buoyancy. They go to the bottom intact. That's what's been happening. So if your listeners search Siberian methane craters and look at the photos, they will be shocked to see what they're not being told. There's on the tundra areas of Siberia, it looks like a nuclear exchange took place. There's massive, perfectly circular craters, some 100 or 200 feet deep, hundreds of feet wide. This is methane exploding into the atmosphere. Why is that so much of a problem? Because methane is, over a 10-year time horizon, about 120 times more potent than CO2 as a greenhouse gas. It's covering our planet right now like a layer of glass. That's why nighttime low temperatures don't cool off anymore. And climate engineering, in the attempt to hide this from populations, not to make it better, not to mitigate in some constructive way, but to hide it, have actually further fueled the process.
Yeah. And I was watching some of your videos on your site, folks. If you want to learn more, go to geoengineeringwatch.org. And what I was watching this morning on your site is some guys in the Arctic with a spear breaking through the ice, and then someone with a lighter lighting the methane gas as it explodes through the ice. I mean, it's so visible and so real. And you're saying this is going on a huge scale. And that's what could just destroy everything in a blink of an eye.
Exactly. And yet again, the climate engineers from every conceivable direction have made that situation far worse, not better. And in regard to the Arctic, which we are perilously close to what's called a BOE, a blue ocean event, which means the first time that there would be no Arctic ice for the summer months in several million years. Now, when you lose the Earth's air conditioner, the polar regions are, the ice reflects about 90% of the sun's incoming thermal radiation. The ocean absorbs about 90%. So when you lose that white ice, and now the oceans begin to exponentially superheat, and that methane really begins to blow out from the shallow seas in the Arctic. That, again, is a runaway event. It appears to be underway already to some degree. Now, the climate engineering operations have used what's called chemical ice nucleation for weather modification to create engineered winter events, which we're having today. By the way, Mike, did you see in Denver, Colorado, that they were about 100 degrees yesterday, and now they're snowing?
No, I'm flying there this afternoon, and United just sent me an alert that we might not be able to land. I mean, this is insane. It's summer, and it's going to snow there. We might not be able to land.
I mean, and keep in mind what the temperatures were yesterday, and the day before was pushing 100 there as well. This is a process called chemical ice nucleation for weather modification, so they can take what's called endothermic reacting chemicals. I'll leave this back in the Arctic in a moment. And they can seed cloud moisture with this, and it causes that moisture to nucleate. It's an energy-absorbing reaction, just like your first aid kit that sits on your shelf for 20 years, and you, at room temperature or hotter, you mix those bag of chemicals for the ice pack, and you have ice instantly. Right. That's an endothermic reaction. So that's what they're doing. That's what they're using. Highly toxic, but they can literally create engineered winter events, and that's how much power they have over the climate system. Now, it's a shallow layer of cold, and that's why they use Denver for this a lot, because Denver's a big basin, and that shallow air sits in there. They can create the headlines they want, and even though California is obliterating heat records, we broke our heat record here in Northern California 2 days ago. We broke the former record by 10 degrees. I mean, this is inconceivable. But they can put out some headlines that look how cold, cold, cold it is in Denver, and people here, even though their forests are burning down, it's frying every day, they go, oh, well, what a relief. At least it's cold somewhere. And so that's a psychological operation.
And that's why we see hail today the size of softballs, maybe even watermelons at times, because of that. Is that correct?
Exactly. You're exactly right. That is exactly what the cause of that is. Or your listeners should look up, this will shock them, ice balls, Lake Michigan. And we have them not trying to really cover this much anymore because they can't explain it. And it's not happening just in Lake Michigan. It's happening along the shores of the Arctic. So let's weave all this back in the Arctic. These massive, perfectly spherical ice balls, that is from the ice that's building up around this endothermic chemical. I mean, this is, it looks so insane to see beaches covered with these basketball-sized, perfectly spherical, ice chunks. And so they are chemically nucleating the Arctic sea surface to try to create slush, which they then call ice pack, so they can hide the fact that the ice is imploding. What are they doing by doing that? They're literally capping the heat in the ocean so it can't escape into the atmosphere. So in the attempt to mask the problem, they are making it worse. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I mean, it sounds like they've lost control and they're just throwing stuff against the wall and seeing what sticks. And they really don't know what they're doing.
Yeah. I would fully agree. I would fully agree. At this point, they're chasing a ball downhill with no regard for the consequences of what they're doing. And, if we continue on this course, all bets are off. And I would relate COVID into this. What we said at geoengineeringwatch.org for the last decade plus, when climate and environmental collapse becomes impossible to hide, meaning, store shelves are close to emptying out, population can't be fed, they will play big cards like global conflict, false flag, and pathogen release. We've said those three elements for the last decade plus. Wow. We see that happening now. Wow. So this is what should have been expected. Current paradigm can no longer be maintained. Power structure is more desperate and dangerous than ever. And we can hide from a vaccine. You can hide in your house, perhaps lock the door.
Right.
You can't hide from the air you have to breathe. And it appears we have peer-reviewed studies to prove that even the CV-19 pathogen, even though we know they're overblowing it, we know they're at this point causing a lot of or claiming a lot of mortality from CV-19 that's not really from that. Right. But they can release something much more virile anytime they want.
Yeah.
And it appears that atmospheric dispersions have been used to more uniformly distribute this element.
Well, and Bill Gates is on record. I think he said it maybe 4, 5, 6 weeks ago that, hey, listen, maybe we didn't fully get your attention this time, but we're going to get it next time. And he kind of laughed, So I agree with everything you just said, that's probably their next trick up their sleeve. Let me ask you this.
Smirk. That smirk at the end with him and his wife, I mean, yeah. it was just
evil.
Diabolical.
And evil.
If I could, into that statement, if I could add one more little point that would be relevant, the world's second most recognized geoengineer, Dr. Ken Caldera, who we have an audio of at geoengineeringwatch.org, of him stating on the record, we've posted this audio, one of the things he did for the Department of Defense was to design ways of spraying pathogens into clouds to infect the population below. That's what this scientist, this geoengineer, second most recognized geoengineer, did for the Department of Defense. And guess who he works for now? Bill Gates.
Yeah, there you go. So, yeah, folks, listen, ask yourself one question if you think we're crazy with this conversation. Why is there a patent on coronavirus? Why is there a patent on COVID-19? Why is there a patent on Ebola? Why is there a patent on HIV? Why is there a patent on SARS? I mean, what are they doing? So, just that's all provable stuff. And ask yourself why. So let me ask you this, because I want to just personally know how you deal with this, because what we're talking about right now and you talk about every day of your life is the destruction of humanity and the destruction of the earth being able to sustain life. And so with that said, and you can prove it. So with all that said, and I do my little bit with the show to try to wake people up, because it's the only trick I got up my sleeve. I mean, but how do you reconcile with yourself how people are just sound asleep on this? Why aren't there massive demonstrations going on?
I wish I had an adequate answer, and that is something I've wrestled with
probably
every day for the last 20 plus years. And people, they convince themselves that, quote, they wouldn't do this to themselves. How many times have you heard that?
People say they wouldn't.
Okay, and so let's stop and think about that. What else have they done to themselves already? 2,000 plus nuclear detonations that contaminated everything on the entire planet. Enough nuclear weapons to destroy humanity about 10,000 times over, and they're building more. We have Fukushima that is going to be an extinction level event by itself if other factors don't do the job first, which I will argue in the current course is going to be the case. Other factors will take us out first, but we have Fukushima, triple nuclear meltdown, and we're building 60 more nuke plants right now. Bottom line is that those in power are like a cancer. Does a cancer intend to kill its host? No, but cancer intends to proliferate at any cost. The consequences aren't a factor. The host eventually dies. And that's what we're dealing with. We're dealing with a cancer, a headless, heartless, soulless cancer. Every part of that cancer just, quote, doing its job, looking after its own personal paradigm, and not taking into account that the entire ship is going down. So when you hear the excuse that they wouldn't do this to themselves, they already have. They already have, and they continue to do so. So as far as how I cope, Mike, I remember always what's in my power and what's not. If I get caught up on what's not in my power, I'm not going to be effective at carrying out what is. So all those people in your broadcast should consider that they have much more personal power than they have perhaps chosen to believe. If they would simply choose to implement that power and to try to we're playing chess. We need to play effectively. So, well, if we could bring this issue to light, if we could bring one issue to light right now, I would argue the climate engineering assault and the atmospheric aerosol spraying, which weaves into COVID and everything else, if we could bring that to light all over the globe, it would cause a shockwave as populations realize and are forced to face what their governments have done to them without their knowledge or their consent. And if we could do that, and then our military brothers and sisters who are carrying out these programs realize what they're doing to not only their other fellow Americans, but their own families, we could have a chance of stopping this from the inside out. That is the only way we can stop this. And that comes back to a critical mass of awareness, which each of your listeners could play a huge part in. But you do that effectively. You don't point at the sky and start to rant.
Yeah.
You share credible printed data. That's why we've tried to rely so heavily on the materials we produce at geoengineeringwatch.org. We don't try to make anything off them. We distribute them for our approximate cost of producing and shipping. We mail out lots of free materials to new radio broadcast people. And we're simply doing everything in our power and within our means to bring this issue to light. And if we can, I would argue we'll drag everything else with it. And we may have a chance of salvaging some part of Earth's life support systems. And that's worth fighting for.
So of all the issues in the world right now, this incredible amount of debt, the $30 trillion missing you just mentioned earlier, on top of the $27 trillion acknowledged, on top of the financial mess, on top of this COVID-19, on top of this Antifa and this BLM, this is the single most important thing that we need to stop, because this will be the destruction of life if we don't act soon. Is that what I'm hearing from you?
That's exactly correct. And it weaves into every imaginable aspect of our survival, and to weave that even into nuclear cataclysm. How does climate engineering connect to nuclear cataclysm? It completely connects. I mentioned earlier the destruction of the ozone layer. Now, with Earth's protective layers of the atmosphere damaged, if we have a large CME, coronal mass ejection, solar flare, and we have a Carrington-type event that shuts down grids all over the globe, now we have Fukushima times 100 or 200 with nuke plants that can no longer cool themselves. We have, with the meltdown that's occurring, we have nuke plants along sea shorelines that are going to be inundated. Again, Fukushima times 200 or 300, game over. So climate engineering from every conceivable direction is derailing any chance we have for any long-term survivability on this planet. And if we can expose and halt it, we'll have many other challenges to face. I'm not denying that, but I'm saying you start with the biggest hole in the bottom of the boat, and that is the atmospheric aerosol assault, weather warfare, which is also biological warfare because these elements are toxic, and these platforms are also very likely being used to disperse biologicals, and we have enough data to back that up as well.
Yeah. So it appears to me that the really big spraying is done by, you know, Air Force type of jets, maybe even drones, I don't know. But what about the airlines? Because it seems to me that those contrails from airlines now are longer and longer. Are they involved in this?
Commercial aircraft are absolutely involved. Exceptional question. So let's look at right now, since we had the big COVID lockdown and all the air traffic diminished. Right. So we haven't seen a reduction in the overall aerosol dispersions, because we can see it on satellite imagery. Even though in this summertime when the trails are less visible but the sky is silvery white, the short, bright dispersions are still a dispersion. That is not condensation. So we know that right now the DOD, Department of Defense, is leasing no less than 800 large commercial carrier aircraft with commercial markings. Why are they leasing 800 commercial aircraft? Because they're stripping the interiors out and they're using those for the aerosol operations. We have film footage of these aircraft, up-close photographs of the nozzles mounted on the pylons, aimed into the exhaust jet stream to make this look like, quote, condensation. Your listeners can look at all this on our site. And when you're passing out data to introduce people to the issue, again, like our 20-page fact and photo booklet, which I think you have some of those, right, Mike?
Yes, I do.
So when you have photographs, NASA images of these that are so shocking that no rational person could deny that something very radical is going on, up-close photographs of the nozzles, of patents, the gag order, that's much more effective at reaching people than just, again, cornering them and ranting at them, which causes them to shut down. So if we do this effectively, efficiently, and we reach that 100th monkey of awareness, the critical mass, and we can expose and halt this issue, we would likely at least, Mike, buy time. We would at least buy time. And isn't that worth fighting for?
Yeah.
And if the planet's given a chance, none of us know. None of us know how profound its life support response might be. Again, we face catastrophe at best. I mean, sea levels are going to rise, not feet, but many, many meters. Coastal, everything is done. There's no stopping that. Once you crash through the guardrail, you can put on the brakes all you want. You're going to the bottom of the canyon. And we are going to make that trip. The question is now, will anybody survive? If anybody's to have any chance of surviving, it must start with stopping the single most destructive factor in regard to Earth's life support systems. That factor is climate engineering.
Let me ask you this, and you may or may not do anything regarding this, but for our listeners, because we're being sprayed like we're mosquitoes, and we're full of these heavy metals. Do you do anything personally to try to eliminate these heavy metals out of your body? Have you done any research around that?
Absolutely. Constantly trying to detox. At geoengineeringwatch.org, there's a full report on that and my protocol as well. It's called, if your listeners search geoengineeringwatch.org, Staying Healthy in a World That Isn't. And chelation, constant chelation, is imperative. These materials we are inhaling with every breath we take. And for your listeners, ingested aluminum, ingested heavy metals, are far less detrimental. They're very detrimental, but far less than inhaled nanoparticulate metals. They enter through your olfactory nerve into your bloodstream. They lodge in cell receptors like a plaque. They're very easy to absorb and very difficult, if not impossible, to get rid of. They're very bioaccumulative and very bioavailable. So the chelation method, there are many supplements that are good for you anyway that can be used to help chelate these metals, to keep them moving through your system, to keep them moving out of your system. And, you know, that is absolutely recommended for anybody that has any interest in staying as healthy as they can while we're fighting this battle. It's absolutely imperative to do so.
Yeah. And I'll add that one thing that I do religiously every day is I drink a big glass of celery juice, and then followed by a big glass of a green juice. And then I try to drink a lot of water and stay hydrated. So at least we're moving this stuff through our system. The chelation I did after I did my heavy metal, I did that. I haven't been tested afterwards. I probably should. But so yeah, that's for you guys listening. This is a very toxic world, and this is real stuff. This air you breathe. I mean, I think millions of people die every year of air pollution. You know, we're making this big deal out of COVID-19. I think, you know, 9,300 people, if you, the most recent CDC statistics, have died in America. You know, millions die of air pollution. So, you know, the whole thing is a scam. So let me ask
Many
you this.
More.
What can
I would agree
can
to back you up on. To back you up on that, Mike, it is you're completely correct. It is exponentially higher. And it's not millions. It would be likely, if you relate all respiratorily inflamed systems from the particulates we're breathing, it would likely be in the hundreds of millions at this point, to some degree, at least tens of millions. And we know in regard to COVID that these particles that we're inhaling, these nanoparticulates, again, that no air quality board tests for, because they only test for PM10 or PM2.5, and not any nanoparticulate testing, not for these materials. So all this goes under the radar by design. Yeah. These particulates radically inflame the respiratory system. That's why every other commercial is COPD, asthma this,
right.
You know, allergy that. And all of this makes us susceptible to COVID and everything else. But if this is the single greatest source of mortality at this point, so you're 100% correct. I'm sorry. Go ahead. Yeah.
No. So I know that you're working on a project now to really try to bring more eyeballs to this issue. And so can you tell the audience a little bit what you're trying to do now and how they can help?
We're working on a documentary called The Dimming. We have a trailer out for that already. It's on the homepage of geoengineeringwatch.org. In that trailer, there are two U.S. Air Force generals speaking out, and that's a very big deal. One's a brigadier general, one's a major general. Former Bush cabinet official speaking out there. We have a geomicrobiologist that assisted us with atmospheric testing, which was a considerable effort and expense in a NOAA flying lab, National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration, and we have verified that these elements are being emitted from heavy aircraft at altitude, period. They are absolutely spraying. And if we look at the stated goal of the climate engineers, a confrontation I had with the world's most recognized geoengineer, Dr. David Keith. If your listeners search Dane Wigington, David Keith, they'll find that video online, I think, still up, where he was pushing that agenda of dumping 20 million tons. Try to get your arms around that, Mike. 20 million tons of aluminum nanoparticulates to be dumped in the atmosphere annually. 20 million tons. And when I confronted him at an international conference, and I was banned from that point on, as to had any toxicological studies been done, he said in no uncertain terms, no. He said, quote, could terrible things happen tomorrow? We don't know. Gee, we're going to just dump 20 million tons in the atmosphere because we can, because there's no laws that say we can't. And that's exactly what they're doing.
Wow. Unbelievable. I'm going to do this. I'm going to put my money where my mouth is. So for you guys listening and you want to help bring awareness to this situation, we're talking life and death. And, you know, maybe, you know, probably for our lives, you know, maybe not mine, but for my children, my grandchildren. And there's a thing called doing the right thing, ladies and gentlemen. So if you go to geoengineeringwatch.org, I will match for the next week any money that comes in, Dane, donation to you up to $5,000. So hopefully $5,000 will come in the next week. You just email me and I'll match up to $5,000, whatever comes in donation. Because let's get this. How much more do you need to make this thing?
Well, certainly that would put us over the top. And I want your listeners to understand that we don't advertise at all at geoengineeringwatch.org. It would diminish the gravity of this message. We're not political. And every bit of resource we have received has gone into our efforts, testing, outreach. And we are absolutely, as you correctly stated, conducting ourselves as if we're fighting for our lives, because we literally are. And on the time horizon, I can't stress that enough. We don't have decades. We have, based on what we know right now, we are on an unimaginably short time horizon before the planet's life support systems completely collapse. It is a nonlinear equation. So everything we get goes directly into the front line of the fight, into our activist materials mailed out to universities, spiritual institutions, environmental groups. So the rubber hits the road with everything. But that would, you know, certainly, Mike, we will press on no matter what. But that anything in that realm would keep the wheels turning at a higher velocity, no question.
So, folks, I encourage you to go to geoengineeringwatch.org, hit the donate button, whether it's 10 bucks, 20 bucks, 50 bucks, 100 bucks, whatever you can give. Because, you know, one, I'm a big advocate, you know, you can't outgive God. The more you give, the more you receive. I mean, I think that's a spiritual law. And plus, I'm going to match it up to $5,000. I want to get this movie made. I want to get more eyeballs on this subject. I look at the sky all the time, and it used to be clear blue, and every once in a while you'll get a glimpse of it, but you got to look straight up, and the rest is just this white toxic film that we're breathing, our kids are breathing, our grandkids are breathing, our animals are breathing, and it's destroying our physical world, ladies and gentlemen. So I just ask you to help out if you can. Dane, anything else? We got about 2 minutes left. Anything you want to add before we go?
I just want to state that, you know, I'm not political. I'm not an activist. This is the last thing I ever intended to spend 20 years of my life doing. I have a background in renewable energy with Bechtel Power, a very corrupt company like Halliburton. But once I knew, and the forest has been my cathedral, Mike. I was restoring habitat on an industrial scale before I really realized the severity of what was happening in our skies. But I simply couldn't not do this. If that makes sense, is what you just stated, that once we know something this horrific is happening, we have no choice but to face it. head on, and that's why I'm in this battle. And it's this issue because, again, mathematically, statistically, logically, rationally, this is the greatest and most immediate threat, as I stated. So that's why I'm focused on this issue. It's not something I ever wanted to do. I feel it is something I had to do. Does that make sense?
Absolutely. Well, I know you know this quote, but you know, evil exists because good men do nothing. And so you became aware of this issue. I remember you doing soil samples up there by Mount Shasta, sending them in, finding out, getting your facts. You're very pragmatic. You're very smart. You're very in tune, and you do it in a way. And like you said, you don't advertise. You're not out there begging for money. I just want to help you get this movie made because I want to, you know, who knows? Maybe there's a thing called reincarnation. We're going to have to come back here, and let's hope it still exists. So, Dane.
So your listeners know this also about that documentary. Yeah. The moment that documentary is done, it will be available to everybody everywhere for free. Awesome. We do not monetize anything. So it just so they understand that, you know, that will be, people can, make copies as long as they're not selling it either, yeah. But it will be available everywhere online for free the moment it's done.
Well, Dane, you know, one, thank you very much for everything you're trying to do here and for all the work that you do and for your passion, your heart. I greatly appreciate it. I want to support your work, continue to support your work. And so let me know in a week what donations come in. I'll send you a payment for the rest, and let's try to get this made, and just keep on going on, man. I appreciate it.
Keep a line of communication open, Mike, and thank you so much for your courage and helping us to face this wave of insanity, what's happening in our skies. Thank you so much, Mike.
Truly my pleasure. Folks, we'll be back tomorrow, Wednesday, 5 p.m. Pacific. I'll be in Cincinnati, Ohio. We have a special show planned for you, so tune in live, and if not, catch it archived at Mike Murphy Unfiltered YouTube. Until then, go out and make it the best evening of your life.
You've been listening to Get Real with Mike Murphy. We all need to wake up before it's too late. Learn to question everything, open your mind, and own your power. For more information on Mike and his work, visit MikeMurphyUnfiltered.com.
Views expressed on this program are those of the host, guests, and callers, and do not necessarily reflect the views of the station, its management, or advertisers. You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio.